series posing the question, can God? And I don't know about you, but as I look back over a series, I can't think of a more life-changing series than wrestling with this question of whether God can do things. I don't know, did you guys notice this morning our worship team worshiping? Amen. Like, what is that? What was that? I mean, it was incredible, right? And I just see kind of across our church a hopefulness begin to take root that hadn't been there before, right? And there's like a freedom in worship. I see fear being pried out of people's souls. I see insecurity being pried out of people's souls. I see new life beginning to grow up in you. And it is exciting to see. Amen. Praise God. We have seen him move and work among us. And honestly, I just think to myself, I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, I don't want to go back, do you? Like, I want to keep going into this. I want to keep going deeper. And we're going to, by God's grace. And this morning, we're going to pick up, we're kind of winding down in our series on whether God can do these things. And we've all learned that he does, right? It's no longer just a question. It's no longer theoretical. There are those of us who've been delivered. Amen? Like, you were this way before deliverance, and now you're this way. Amen? And so we are going to wrestle this morning, and this should be more than one sermon, but God knows. Really, the whole series has been about really just one thing, and that is that God wants to make you whole. He wants to make you a whole person who wholly worships him, who wholly serves him. And yeah, that means we need to be healed, right? We've seen physical healings, but we are also grappling at the same time with inner healing. And if you remember when Joe preached through the sermon about whether God can heal physically, does he heal us of illnesses and physical ailments? And we saw that he does. Jesus heals. We saw that his disciples heal. And we saw that the church to this day heals. Amen? Like, we have a role now in the healing ministry of Jesus. This is what the whole kingdom of God is about. When Jesus departed and ascended into heaven, he gave us his authority. Yeah. Right? All authority has been given to us in Jesus' name. He has given us authority over sickness. He's given us authority over demons. And we learned that we pray according to our faith in different ways. We could pray to our loving Father for healing, right? Prayers to God, asking him to heal. Many of you have read, Even in Our Darkness. It's sitting there in the back, or we have copies of it. If you haven't read it, Joe and I were just talking. Feels like that should be what everyone reads in our church. But he has prayed for his wife to be healed for 25 years. 25 years. And this is someone who has stood in a room like this and prayed over people and watched them walk again, watched them see again, right? We pray to God to heal. And even if we don't see it happen, we should still be people that pray that God shows up and does things. Even though things don't happen the way that we want. Amen? And then we pray, number two, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us revelation of what he wants to heal. Sister Michelle often feels something in her body. she's learning that when she, like, she had a headache the week of Shepherd Group, and she came to Shepherd Group, and she's like, hey, like, has anyone had any, like, headaches and tension or problems? And like, some people raised their hand, and we got to pray for them. And I've personally experienced that with Michelle, right? So God will give us visions. He'll reveal things to people, and then he'll heal. And then he's also given us authority. We get to speak directly to sickness by the power of the Spirit. And these are prayers from God in which we declare healing. And we never kick people when they're down, do we? We never drag out their sin or the possibility of something that they may have done. And we also don't guarantee that they will be healed. Right? Job preached last week, we live in the already and not yet. Right? We know that the battle is won, it's over, and yet we're still living between D-Day and VE Day. We still have battles to fight before the war is consummated and over, and Jesus sits on the throne and his enemies are put as footstools under his feet. So we keep fighting. We know that we don't give up even in the face of the fiercest battles, and we don't guarantee that every illness will be healed, every ailment will be zapped away. But I believe this is the root of the hopefulness that's beginning to take place in our church, and that is that we know God can.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. We are learning to pray and keep praying and keep praying and keep looking to him and keep crying out to him. And we must, because what else do we have? And so we want to turn to this idea of emotional or inner healing, because we know that not all wounds are physically visible. We see them in the patterns of our emotions and our thinking, whether it's perfectionism, anxiety, insecurity, anger, regret, lack of self-control, love of comfort, the need to numb pain, fear. And the Bible, whether you realize it or not, is a collection of stories, not about neat and tidy people who have their emotional lives all together,
right?
Like, This scriptures are full of people just like you and me who wrestle with God and meet him. All right? Psalm 6. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are shaking. My whole being is shaken with terror. And you, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, rescue me, save me because of your faithful love. For there is no remembrance of you in death. Who can thank you in Sheol? I am weary from groaning. With my tears, I dampen my bed. Who can relate? Drenching your couch every night. Who can relate? Amen. Eyes swollen from grief. They grow old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all evildoers. And we'll stop there. We could keep going, right? Overwhelming grief. Overwhelming fear. Psalm 13, 1 through 6. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and answer, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes, otherwise I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. How many of you have felt alone? How many have felt unseen? Right? Saints of the past have felt and wrestled deeply with their emotions and it is throughout the Psalms. If you are struggling to name your emotions, struggling to work through your emotions, I encourage you, the Psalms are the place to go. All right? Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. How many have felt guilty? He goes on to say, purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You can have forgiveness. Psalm 147. Hallelujah, how good it is to sing to our God, for praise is pleasant and lovely. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers Israel's exiled people, and we'll stop here. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Throughout Scripture, we see God's people wrestling with big emotions and big problems. Things that had happened to them, things that they've done, they've wrestled with them before God. And I could give you even more. Abram deeply questions the promises of God. He's a man of doubt, but is willing in the end to sacrifice his son, believing God would resurrect him. Right? God, Abram was a doubter. And then he came to trust God. And God changed his name to Abraham. Jacob was known as the great manipulator. He had manipulated everyone in his life to receive blessing. And he finally reached a point where he realized he could no longer manipulate. And he wrestled with God on the bank of a river. And he realized that he needed God to bless him. And God changed his name to Moses. God changed him. He was emotionally just like Abraham. He was this way. And then God did a work in his life and he became a totally new person. Moses grew angry with God's people. And what did he do? He struck a rock with a stick. Job lost everything and questioned God. Jesus wept, was angry, and he sweated drops of blood. And thank God, all without sin. We are a church that wholeheartedly believes that we are both physical and emotional, spiritual beings. And this is the very heart of this is a part of the heart of the mission of Jesus, right? Isaiah 61:1, referring to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Jesus would quote this same passage again in Luke 4. Your emotions aren't too big for God. And I know how it is. There's people in your life that think your emotions are too big for them. Don't want to deal with it. Don't want to hear it. Stop living in the past. But I'm just going to say right now, just like Michael said, that is a doctrine of demons meant to hold you captive, meant to keep you locked in fear, meant to keep you from knowing the true freedom that is to be found in Jesus. God is big enough to deal with your big emotions and the problems that created them. You know, like I said, we live in the already not yet. We live between knowing that in Jesus, when he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, Satan was done already. He was done. And we're in this time before it's all consummated and we all stand before Jesus and we bow and we worship him. But emotional healing isn't nearly as simple as physical healing, right? You know, in the Gospels, it talks about the man in Mark, the man with the withered hand. And Jesus asks him to stretch out his hand and he heals it. And all the bone structures return to the right place. The muscles fall right where they should. The tendons are restored. And the withered hand is completely normal again, right? With our physical ailments, it's easy to look at them and see them and know exactly what they are. But when it comes to our emotional healing, we can't see them, can we? And if the event that caused the trauma, the hurt, the pain in our lives was young, we can't always distinguish between the hurt and who we are. We begin to think it's just our personality. We begin to think it's just who I am. And we don't even realize that there's another version of who we can be in Jesus. Right? Maybe you were afraid because as a little girl, you were exposed to things that made you afraid for your life. And now you can stand complete in Jesus. And you can look death in the eye and say, Jesus rose from the dead. And he conquered death. And it has no hold on me. Amen? God wants to heal your broken emotions. He's not asking you to bury them. Right? How many, I can think of a story in my own, in my life right now. My dad, he tells me over and over, you're living in the past. Don't bring these things up. Right? A lot of times people have a vested interest in us not pursuing emotional healing. Because they feed off of our brokenness. They feed off of the codependency that's created by us staying in a place of slavery to the things that happened in our lives. They don't have a vested interest. Jesus alone loves you. He came and he died for you, and he wants to free you. So how do we begin to differentiate between the things that happen to us and the emotions that they carry and who we really are? How does that happen? So we're going to run through several ways that we begin this process. And some of this is actually familiar to us because it's already happening. Amen? God's doing a work here. There's people being freed already. Amen? But one of the ways that we begin to see inner healing is through deliverance. We had a conference, right? Setting people free from the spirit of anger, of unforgiveness, of lust coming from idolatry and addiction. Amen? Most of you know my story that my parents divorced when I was 5. And those first 5 years of life were marked by chaos. My dad was addicted to drugs. He was selling drugs. He ended up in prison. They were very sexually active. I was exposed to things at a very young age that you don't want children to be exposed to. And I lived then with my dad the rest of my life after the divorce was final. And there was a lot of trouble. And through different, how do I say this? Went on a trip to Eastern Washington with my sister. My sister and I reconnected. We started rebuilding, and we started asking a lot of questions and seeking healing. And I got a report that confirmed some fears that we had, and that there, and that report was more or less kind of affirming sexual abuse. And I remember we were in Cincinnati at the first conference that we went to see Jack Deere. And I'm sitting in my hotel room alone and, you know, reading over this report again, and this just overwhelming sense of darkness just came over me. And the only way I can really represent it is it felt like all of the anger of my dad. It was a spirit of oppression. And I felt very afraid. And I just sat there, just confused as to what was going on, what I was feeling, where it was coming from. It felt like it was inside of me, but it also felt like it was outside of me. And then I just had a picture of Jesus sitting on his throne. And it was like light just shone down out of heaven into my hotel room. And all of that darkness just was gone. And I didn't have all this language for deliverance. I didn't understand, but I believe that day in my hotel room, God delivered me of a demon that had plagued me my entire life, that fed into all of my fears, fed into all of my insecurities, fed into the lie that I needed to stay there. He freed me. And I know that he's freed some of you. And I know that there's a lot of work left still to do. Right? Right? Demons need permission to be part of our lives. And a lot of times, it's like the trauma that happened in our lives creates all these different emotions and beliefs and ideas that we're not good enough and all of these things. And it creates an opportunity for us to be demonized. It creates an opportunity for evil to continue to be fed into our souls. And getting free, right, emotionally free, is going to look like being delivered from a demon. And then inner healing also comes through the bond of a friend or a counselor with confession. Right? The body of Christ is meant to be a healing place, a place of gatherings like shepherd group and discipleship groups, right? Every one of us needs like 2 to 3 people where you have no secrets. Everything about you is shared, right? Everyone needs a safe place where they can begin to share their secrets, where they can just get it out there, off of their chest. And other times, through the Spirit, we get a prophetic light cast on our past. Sometimes the memories are so traumatic, we've buried them. We've buried them because that's how we needed to cope. But family, we don't need to stay in survival when the event happened 30 years ago. We don't need to stay stuck. And sometimes in the grace of God and the work of the Spirit, he gives a word to somebody that just speaks right to that event in your life, and it brings it all out into the open so that it can get dealt with. Because God wants to lift those burdens. And sometimes we need to learn how to visualize, which is to say, you need to learn how to speak to your past self. You know, one of the things that I grappled with is like, as a grown man, as I look past on my past story, was like, why did nobody say anything? Why did this happen? This could have been stopped. You know, and I needed, as a grown man, to talk to my younger self, so to speak. And I needed to forgive myself for taking on the burden of my dad's stuff. Right? We need to identify any promises that we made or vows that we made in our pain. I will never let this happen again. I will never do this so that I can avoid that, right? And we need to realign our personal allegiances to Jesus alone, right? The Psalms, again, are full of speaking to our own souls. We have to go to our own person in that memory, and we got to start speaking the truth of God, and we got to heal that part of us that was broken. You know, psychiatrists often say that the point of trauma in our lives is when we stop growing emotionally. And a lot of us can relate to being 40-year-old kids, right? Like, we're still emotionally stuck at that point of pain. And we need to go back and we need to see God heal us in those places. And then there's times, family, where we need absolution. Right? Only God can forgive, but there is a place for another member of the church or an elder to stand and represent the church and lay hands or give a hug and just say, "You're forgiven." Right? And just be allowed to feel that in your soul, that I don't have to stay here. Come on. Amen? We're going to wrap up because I'm right on time. John, I didn't put this up there, but maybe you can do it real quick because you're a whiz. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I'm telling you, there's way too much here. The whole point, family, 3:16 through 19. Why do we need inner healing? So that we can grow up into the people that God meant us to be. So that we can fight our battles, not as little kids anymore, but as full soldiers of God, ready to go to war, lock shields with our brothers and sisters, take territory for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. I want to encourage us. We're going to all say this out loud together. We need to learn just how much we are loved by God. We need to feel how much we're loved by God. There was a moment in that first song, no, it was the second song, where Bree sang it and I almost burst into tears. When I say feel the love of God, if you haven't been moved on a level that you can't express words for, you don't know the love of God the way you should. And I don't want to shame you or guilt you, but it's something you need to learn to pursue and be filled with and overfilled with until it's overflowing. You need to know that you're loved, that you're loved, that you're loved. So that it drives out the fear, it drives out the insecurity, it gives you confidence that you've never felt in your entire life. The love of God makes you something different. You're no longer a slave to fear. Amen. Let's say this together. We're going to read it a couple times. Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's say it again. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. You see that? It surpasses knowledge. Right? We can know love by looking at what Jesus did, but he did it for you because he actually cares about you, because he actually loves you. He came to remove those big rocks and heal up those deep wounds. And we need to learn. Like, take this passage, Ephesians 3:16-19, read it every day and just pray it into existence. Pray it over and over until it's true in our lives. All right, let's pray. Father, I just invite you, Lord, to come and to fill up every place in our heart. I pray that light would come and just shine in. Lord, I pray that we would feel in the deepest part of our existence how much you love us. Lord, I pray that whatever is preventing us from knowing and experiencing your love, Lord, it would be removed from our lives. Lord, you can heal us. Lord, we all will spend the rest of our lives working to know and experience your love in deeper ways, and yet in a moment you could make it happen. Lord, you could overcome any experience that we've had that fills us with shame, that fills us with guilt, that fills us with hopelessness, and realize how much you love us. Lord, I pray that you would. I pray that you would, Lord. I pray you would fill us with hope and the knowledge of your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.